Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week I have the pleasure of continuing my interview with Dr. John Rady. He is a psychiatrist. He is a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and author or co-author of 8 books, including Driven to Distraction and Spark, the Revolutionary New Science of Exercise and the Brain, which we are talking about today. Good morning, Dr. Rady.
Great to be with you.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about children. We have 3 things happening, or 4 things happening, that are pretty shocking with children. Obese children, obesity going through the roof in children. I think some people estimate up to 30% of children are obese, and worse in the non-white population. Sedentary lifestyle. Kids would rather sit in front of the computer or text than move at all, and living on fast food, soda pop, and fried food, and 4, they seem to be getting dumber and dumber.
Right, and with that, they become less resilient and less motivated to do. Mm-hmm. And I think all those things together suggest a real crisis. And this is a huge problem in our schools and in with our children and in general. And it starts really at home, because this summer the CDC came up with a horrifying statistic that at the age of 4, 1/5 of our children were already obese.
Ugh.
Not overweight, but obese. And the percentage really across the United States is 33% of our kids are in school are either overweight or obese. But a larger and larger portion of them are becoming obese. And this is horrible, because it we know from many studies that when you start getting really obese, you start losing brain function. And this is a problem. And we're not even paying much attention to that as we should. Michelle Obama's starting, but it really has to be powered into everyone's awareness, not just about eating, because I think it's happening all over the world, even in countries where they don't have fast food. What is happening is this, our sedentary lives are becoming even more sedentary, and it's starting much earlier. So you have kids showing up in kindergarten who really don't play much other than with their digital toys, whether it be TV or Game Boys or whatever the latest is, and you really have to instruct them to play. There was an $18 million grant given to a group called PlayWorks recently to send play instructors out to the schools to help the teachers and the children to learn how to play during recess.
Oh, my God.
Now, that is incredible.
That is incredible. But it makes sense to me, because I have to push my daughter, who's now 15, out the door to do something physical.
Right, and it is right. I mean, because the appeal and the attraction of the digital world is so great. It's what we call supernormal stimuli, meaning way better than we could ever imagine, and it is. Mm-hmm. When you have 300 channels to choose from on your TV, and then you have the computer and all of its wizardry and forever, and then you have the video games. I mean, it is a challenge, and our brains are being affected and changed by that. Mm-hmm. And especially now, our kids, and they're not only that, but they're sitting. And we now know that this sedentary lifestyle is really dangerous and really suppresses a lot of our brain power, and makes for not only a physically unfit, but a mentally unfit child.
I don't know. Let's see. Should we talk about Naperville, Illinois school district?
Yeah, this is the first chapter of my book, and really what led me to finally write this book, which was all about how exercise affects the brain, and looking at it mainly and initially from a mental health perspective. It's a benefit on mood, depression, anxiety, stress, addictions, attention deficit disorder, and all of that. But we didn't really have much great evidence, hard-edged evidence, on its effect on children in schools. There's a lot of studies and epidemiologic studies across countries and all, but it wasn't as solid as in other areas. And then I learned about this school in Naperville, Illinois, which is 50 miles west of Chicago, a school district that has 19,000 kids in it. And I learned about it and learned that in 2005 that this school district, they evaluated their kids, and 3% of them were overweight, which was phenomenal given that the average is 33 across the country. And the reason being is that they had the PE department had changed over the previous 15 years or so and evolved into this amazing program that was not starting based on sports and athletic performance, but they, by the coaches, realized that their kids were back 15 years before were getting more and more unfit, despite their having PE every day in Illinois, so that they changed their focus into looking at fitness and managing the child's fitness. Then, and it really paid off. And then they had this other revolutionary idea, is after a few years, because most of what they had is the kids running and doing a little bit of strength training, but playing running games. And they were still giving the athletic people the best grade. So they decided, in a stroke of brilliance, to put on these cardiac monitors. And instead of who won, it was how much time you spent in your cardiac training zone. And that changed everything, so that you had each student working against their own measures. They initially had thrown out all the sports, and but then re-added them in, but it was small-sided sports, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, everybody plays all the time. Mm-hmm. All 40 minutes are devoted to the kids moving. Because in all the time they're wearing these monitors so that they know how much they're moving, and they have to be in it in a certain amount of time. And it really led to PE becoming a big, big part of the curriculum. And what really got me was that they, some years right before 2005, they had lobbied to take the International Science and Math Test, which every country takes every 3 years. Students are measured on science and math all over the world. And the U.S. just finished it. We just had it again this past summer. And the U.S. came in where it usually does 10th, 11th, 12th in both science and math. And schools in Japan and Singapore and Hong Kong and Taiwan always are in the top 6 or 7. Well, they lobbied to take it as a country, which you can do, and 98-point-something% of their children took it, and they came in number one in the world in science.
That is so phenomenal.
Right. And number 6 in math. And yeah. So this was amazing. And so here you have kids spending 45 minutes a day in fitness-based PE and taking away from class time, of course, And they were able to score this phenomenally. And they continue to this day to be challenging the very top schools in Illinois for placement in the schools, for SAT scores, for National Merit Scholars, all the measures that one would use to evaluate schools. They're always in an A-plus rating. And they spend spend the median amount per student per year in the state of Illinois. In other words,
you mean dollar amount?
Dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so the school district is very quick these days to, not only do they have very good teachers, but a big part of what helps their students perform so well, I think, and others do, is this, most of them are, almost all of them are very, very fit. You walk in school and it's to find somebody who is overweight walking through the halls. It's part of the culture. People like it. They've added, as I say, they've added sports back, and they learn sports skills for life, and it just is the most motivated place I've ever been to.
Now, one of the things that you talk about is the zero period PE, that it started with adding a zero period PE, which is a class for activity before school, like at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right. This was a special class for people that were in a slow reading group in ninth grade.
Okay.
So kids that were having a hard time still reading, they developed a special PE class for them. Actually, after I had visited and got involved and suggested something like that, but they really got the kids really moving, then had their reading class right after. Those that participated, because it was all voluntary the first year,
mm-hmm.
did twice as well in terms of picking up their reading scores than those that didn't.
That is so exciting. I mean, you know, we just had in the Astoria School District an assessment, and it was determined that throughout the levels, middle school and high school, reading scores have fallen again. And now they're saying, okay, now we have to spend an hour a day with reading. And maybe not. Maybe a half an hour of reading and a half an hour of physical activity would be more effective to improve reading scores.
Oh, I think in general, you're going to... Most people don't make that connection between the brain and the body, that are movement and play and exercise are both very, very important for brain development and for... hiking up the activity of our brains.
Oh, okay. Well, so if we need motion, movement, activity to learn, and we have PE twice a week, and the rest of the time we're on a computer or TV, you can see where we're going wrong.
Oh, I think it's just a big problem in our schools, and where everybody's worried about passing the state tests, you know, that the no child, what I call no child helped at all law, was out there, and you know, there was all these expectations, but no money to follow that to get there in many cases, but.
Mm-hmm.
But that's led to the cutback in arts and music and certainly in PE.
Absolutely.
And now, unfortunately, in recess, and now you have kindergartners who should be just playing the whole time, having reading tests, you know, which is just criminal to have a four-year-old, five-year-old being worried about whether they know their numbers or they know they can read. And they're losing all that valuable time to play, where they learn a lot of social skills, where that helps their brain develop, where they learn how to fail and pick up and do it again. I just think we're just way off base here. And I think the medical schools are starting to look into this in a big way and calling this out. and showing that, for instance, that the recess that you have is very important to student performance in the classroom.
Absolutely. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. John Rady, who's a psychiatrist, clinical associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and the author of many books, including Driven to Distraction and the one we're talking about today, Spark. Okay, so we're talking about children, and I'm thinking about that schools are really, in a way, stuck in a rut. And yet, schools are changing. You have letters from schools all over the country that have instituted these ideas and have had some pretty amazing changes, including Roosevelt High School, an alternative high school in Casper, Wyoming. You want to tell me about that? This is a brand new one.
Yeah, no, this is not something that I knew. I just forwarded that letter on to you that I received last week, and I wasn't even involved, but they took my and other people's message on using exercise as a way to help these children learn, and they came up with some dramatic results. They changed their curriculum around. They changed their day around so that they had these kids that were having a hard time being in school at all start off the day with a bout of playing games, very vigorous games, and then physical challenges for 30 minutes. And then throughout the day, they would have some breaks where they would have the kids exercise as opposed to just sit there. And they had changed their PE program into one where it was very much based on fitness as well. And what they found was quite phenomenal, and that's why the principal sent me a wonderful letter attesting the fact that they've seen in just the 20 weeks when they began this program, has seen jumps in reading scores of their kids from 2 years to 4 years. And the amount of discipline problems have dropped, and the attendance has increased. And this was quite phenomenal for them. And it's what we see as we go into schools and add in a program of vigorous physical activity, either in the morning, which is the best time to have it, or sometime during the day. And if you can do it daily, it is terrific, and something that leads to children being, first thing you see is them being less of a problem discipline-wise. The second is that they attend school. They want to come to school.
So their attitude improves.
Their attitude improves dramatically. The teachers report almost immediately a change in their attention and focusing and participation in classes. And then you see an improvement in performance, which is in some schools is further down the road, but in this school it was happening quite dramatically.
So some of the things that we see a lot of in children, and it seemingly in an increased level, are anxiety, depression, addiction, and, you know, diagnosis of ADHD and ADD. And I can't believe that everybody is suddenly so mentally screwed up, you know.
Well, I think our society has made it, has been, I don't know. You know, our society has been so complex and confusing. And but I do think what you're seeing is that the kids are basically less well, and as it are adults. I mean, adults are just as, believe me, are just as bad. I mean, I think that instead of a health reform problem, it should have been really focused on a health reform, or health care reform should have been on a health reform. That is, how are we going to change everybody's health, not the health care.
Right.
Because the focus has to be on prevention, and it has to be on people attaining a weller being than they are, because and we've lost that, and we've lost that personal responsibility, et cetera. And I think one of the reasons why I've been spending these past 3 years on the road, talking to schools and working with them to change, because that's a captive audience, and this is where we need to be, and we need our kids to begin to learn that they can manage their bodies and manage their brains and perform that much better.
So in different chapters, you talked about lessening anxiety and getting rid of depression and reducing the tendency toward addiction by simply moving, getting some activity. You talked about one woman with anxiety who would jump rope and then just within 10 minutes would feel she could handle her day.
Right, and she wouldn't need to go and she started to drink, and so she could control her drinking that way. And another jump rope incident was a young girl since then, a young girl whose mother sort of bought into these ideas, but she was having a trouble with her math homework and would get very frustrated and cranky and give up. And so her mother said, well, why don't you jump rope for 5 minutes before you sit down to do your homework? Well, this was like miraculous for the child, and she was able to power through, if you will, or deal with her frustration, stay attentive, and eventually do better in her math. Well, cut to 2 years later, she's now on the regional jump rope team, as well as knows how to manage her frustration, anxiety, the feeling of giving up or wanting to give up by getting herself into a significant aerobic state.
That is great. So one of the things you say is that when we exercise, it's like taking an antidepressant and a stimulant at the same time. And certainly for kids, it's going to facilitate learning.
Right, right. What I mean is that when we exercise, we make more and we release a higher percentage of these neurotransmitters that are antidepressants address right away, and that our stimulants address, meaning they increase the concentration. And so we do the same thing with the bout of exercise, only you do a lot more of other things with changing the brain growth factors, changing the hormonal levels and all that promote our brain to be optimum and to promote the learner to be optimum. So they're less frustrated, they're more motivated, their self-esteem is raised, and not just because they've exercised, but they've changed the chemistry of their brain to make that happen. And therefore, you get the learner less fidgety, more aroused, more awake, able to deal with frustration better, and at the same time better able to take in information and have their brains do what they're supposed to do when we learn, which is to change, to actually grow. Our brain cells have to grow for us to take in and encode, log in information.
How many schools or school districts do you think, or at least that you know of, have implemented some level of your ideas of hard aerobic fitness, 40 minutes or so?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. It's a growing movement.
So it can be done even in these difficult times economically?
Right. And the interesting thing about the Casper, Wyoming school is that they it required no more money. It was no more. There was no money outlaid. Uh-huh. I mean, it was no more. It's not that they had to buy fancy equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they had to have a different attitude and change their mm-hmm. schedule a bit. And it empowered the PE teacher to really take charge and really get the kids motivated to do the kinds of things that they needed to do. And this has happened in many of the inner city schools that I've been involved with. It doesn't require more money at all. It's not about having to buy all kinds of stuff. It's a matter of apportioning time mostly, mm-hmm. and a change in attitude of what PE is, because sadly most of many schools are still mired in the old standard PE, which is all about sports and athletics, which are important, but they're second to fitness, and especially in today's world where our kids are so basically unfit.
Well, when I go to run at the middle school track, it's often during PE. They're dressed down, but I'm the only one doing any PE.
There you go.
And I keep thinking I need to invite them to come run along with me. A couple of them might whiz by me and run halfway around the track and then stop, but most of them are just playing around. And I think, what a waste. They need to be running. They need to join me.
Well, they need, or playing something that gets them
right.
moving.
No, they're not doing anything.
That engages them. Yes,
right.
They're yes. doing. No, but that's a very typical PE class, and I'm telling you, it starts with the PE teachers, and it has to. They have to be doing their job, and they have to. And most of them focus on teaching them skills and sports and all this other kind of stuff. That comes after, you know, while you're also with your major focus on fitness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you know, the name of the book, Spark, really says what it is, which is it really the information in this book will turn on your thinking, turn on your make you get motivated to do something different than you've been doing, or if you've been doing some activity, to do more.
Right. It's a matter these days we're much more focused on staying with it, first of all, and doing something with somebody so that that helps you stay with it, but also increasing the intensity of the
activity,
exercise period, mm-hmm. or play or whatever it is.
So you think for kids, like 40 minutes, 5 days a week?
Oh, I would say that. I would love it if we could get that. 30 minutes would be just fine, too. But it has to be where everybody's engaged, not standing around.
Right. Everyone's doing something.
Right. Yeah. And the problem has always been that the kids who benefit from it are the kids who don't need it. The kids the kids who need it most are standing on the sidelines. And that's what you do when you're having a pickup game or... you know, when Naperville added sports back in, it was small-sided sports. Everybody was playing all the time.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Rady. You've been listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I've been talking with Dr. John Rady, who's a psychiatrist, clinical associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and the author of Spark, Get It Now. Mm-hmm.